Welcome to the Musings series, audio book readings, reading from Photo Albums of the Heart Mind, published by All Book Books, written by monk Walter E. Harris III. Thanks for listening. Chapter 8, Songs and Other Musings. So this chapter, obviously, with the title mention of musings, a subtle reference to the book one of this musing series, Musings with the Golden Sparrow, this being book two. And if I remember correctly, the epigraphs, the five quotes, song epigraphs, because the meanings of the songs I found so stirring, I felt that why not expand on that and put that in the book as a added, sort of like an added flavor to just the epigraph, because maybe the reader would not get all that I felt or intended for those quotes to mean, so it would be neat to explain them. So that's what this chapter is about, and with the understanding that these are my explanations of the songs, not necessarily what the singer-songwriter intended. Obviously, some songs have a clear meaning, other songs are open for interpretation. That's the way it goes with pretty much any art. So this is a shorter chapter. And the first section starts off with a quote from a Jackson Browne song, Looking Into You. The great song traveler passed through here, and he opened my eyes to the view. Song lyrics, like mantras, can convey an essence, resonate with, and express concisely what one feels, thinks. Homer's The Odyssey, as its title suggests, is an epic poem. At the very beginning is an invocation, a prayer. Sing in me, muse, and through me tell the story. Lift the great song again. This is akin to the spirit writing mentioned previously as part of Obaku Zen and St. Francis's Lord, Make Me an Instrument of Thy Peace. Hearing a Jackson album when a teenager induced one of this traveler's first spiritual experiences. The great song traveler can be a singer or anyone who pulls off the wool, opens your eyes, shifts your consciousness. Treasured, significant turning point life moments can also happen when in the presence of holy people. That's W-H-O-L-E-Y, holy people. As with the motion of cinema, good songs, with or without lyrics, can provide an emotional groove that buoys you through the day and night. And if you're lucky, you might actually hear the music of the spheres. And three song quotes to round out this section. Well, I looked into the sky for my anthem, and the words and the music came through. But words and music can never touch the beauty that I've seen looking into you, and that's true. Jackson Browne. But I'll know my song well before I start singing. Bob Dylan from A Hard Rain's Are Gonna Fall. My gift is my song, and this one's for you, Elton John, your song. Chapter 8, Songs and Other Musings. So this chapter, obviously, with the title mention of musings, a subtle reference to the book one of this musing series, Musings with the Golden Sparrow, this being book two. And if I remember correctly, the epigraphs, the five quotes, song epigraphs, because the meanings of the songs I found so stirring, I felt that why not expand on that and put that in the book as a added, sort of like an added flavor to just the epigraph, because maybe the reader would not get all that I felt or intended for those quotes to mean, so it would be neat to explain them. So that's what this chapter is about, and with the understanding that these are my explanations of the songs, not necessarily what the singer-songwriter intended. Obviously, some songs have a clear meaning, other songs are open for interpretation. That's the way it goes with pretty much any art. So this is a shorter chapter. And the first section starts off with a quote from Jackson Browne's song, Looking Into You, from a Jackson Browne song, Looking Into You. The great song traveler passed through here, and he opened my eyes to the view. Song lyrics, like mantras, can convey an essence, resonate with, and express concisely what one feels, thinks. Homer's The Odyssey, as its title suggests, is an epic poem. At the very beginning is an invocation, a prayer. Sing in me, muse, and through me tell the story. Lift the great song again. This is akin to the spirit writing mentioned previously as part of Obaku Zen and St. Francis's Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Hearing a Jackson album when a teenager induced one of this traveler's first spiritual experiences. The great song traveler can be a singer or anyone who pulls off the wool, opens your eyes, shifts your consciousness. Treasured, significant turning point life moments can also happen when in the presence of holy people. That's W-H-O-L-E-Y, holy people. As with the motion of cinema, good songs, with or without lyrics, can provide an emotional groove that buoys you through the day and night. And if you're lucky, you might actually hear the music of the spheres. And three song quotes to round out this section. Well, I looked into the sky for my anthem, and the words and the music came through. But words and music can never touch the beauty that I've seen looking into you, and that's true. Jackson Browne. But I'll know my song well before I start singing. Bob Dylan from A Hard Rain's A Gonna Fall. My gift is my song, and this one's for you, Elton John, your song. And now I get into the actual epigraph quotes. The first one, Bob Dylan, slow train. The enemy I see wears a cloak of decency. But it sure do bother me to see my loved ones turning into puppets. There's a slow, slow train coming up around the bend. This and the next four pages interpret the epigraphs on page 3. As with any good poetry, Dylan's lyrics are often open to interpretation. And sometimes poets don't even know exactly what the words, muse inspired and flowing through, represent. Many of us are crime news programmed to be afraid of minorities. Yet, when you consider the damage done to humanity and Mother Earth, consider the wars, the bailing out of big banks, Wall Street's casino-rigged capitalism, and so on, when you see a person, probably a man, in a suit and tie, you'd be well advised to run away, if not tackle him. That said, there are many honest business people. Yet, the aforementioned suits with their handshakes and polite words are emblematic of that cloak of decency. And not just geopolitical corporate business people, not all of whom are sociopaths, also the society at large, the fake smiles, the forced social graces, yet dare to question the overall system, or remind of those whose bent backs help to literally feed the system, and you run the risk of being shunned. This traveler knows from personal experience. The song also cites Arab oil, so the slow train could be a turtle-esque as well as energy consumption metaphor. In any case, Curtis Mayfield's 1965 People Get Ready, sung by The Impressions, more recently Joss Stone with Jeff Beck et al., helps keep this traveler on track. People get ready, there's a train a-comin'. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. And by Neil Young from The Painter. It's a long road behind me. It's a long road ahead. If you follow every dream, you might get lost. Dreams can be like going to the gym, but where you work out your psychological issues. Or they can be sources of very specific guidance about the day ahead or prophetic about the long-range future. Dreams can allow for seeing and being with those who have crossed over to the spirit world, and sometimes this traveler has awoken, feeling that the person was still alive, then realized, yes, but in another place and non-time. Dreams can show you past lives or let you travel the world without having to get groped by security. Many artists and inventors have woken up with the answer to a question or the blueprint to a project. So respected are dreams that when facing a big decision, some people say, I'll sleep on it and let you know. Yet this traveler appreciates the song's reminder warning that some dreams may be illusions. Also, there are idle or daydreams, as in fantasies, which may be fine for passing the time in a summer hammock, but you might not want to literally follow them. And a tip of the hat to Neil, who follows his muse, hasn't sold out, no pun intended, to the music biz, same with Dylan, and continues to be a voice for truth, justice, and Mother Earth. And from Van Morrison's song, Spirit. And you follow the road, and you get you back home. Oh no, never let spirit die. Oh no, spirit don't ever die. Spirit don't ever die. Breadcrumbs, GPS, telephone hotlines, the long, dark night of the soul, a photo in a wallet, a fortune cookie fortune, a prayer. He, she has given us a sign, a lighthouse, the North Star, on the night of a blizzard, candlelight flickering in a window. One of the guides for all things visual must include Archangel Tzadkiel, one of whose symbolic actualities in mystical Kabbalah is the all-seeing eye that works for and with the Great Mother. This eye is forever open. It does not ever blink. If you think about it, there must be someone, some energy watching the universe to make sure at least some things stay essentially as they are, and other things don't go too far whack, making sure that the whole holds together. When distracted or tired and having to accomplish something, or driving, Tzadkiel's eye can help, or the image and feel of a mother keeping an eye on her beloved children. Spirit, don't ever die. Some people live with the consciousness that there is no death, rather a change of location, and that there is no beginning or ending to the universe and metaphysical dimensions. Heart, think of that and see how it might change your awareness, your day-to-day experience. It is, perhaps, the Zen Koan of Koans, the great mystery. And from Lila June Johnston, In the Beginning. Here we are today, all different, all the same, shedding a broken system and rewriting our name. One of this traveler's word energy truth-teller heroes is John Trudell. He said, we're human beings, and the DNA of the human being, my bone, flesh, and blood, is literally made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. We are literally shapes and forms of the earth. That's who we are, and we have being. Our being comes from our relationship to the sun and to the universe. Because our relationship to the sun, I mean, let's be, you know, be very coherent and clear about this. Without the sun, we would not have life. All right, it's almost like the rays of light that the sun represents and brings to the earth. See, this is the sperm that gives life to the womb that the earth is. End quote. Humans being kind is a word way to convey this sameness. And each of us has a divine or spiritual name along with a particular function or work to do, as does a pinky or a liver, each doing its part for the whole body. Or like an altar or a toilet, each a part of a home. Or, though it would be impossible to prove in a blizzard, as science says, no two snowflakes are exactly the same. Shedding a broken system is one of the gists of this book. Some folks are addicted to progress, with petrol as the number one lubricant, running the shadow play. Polluted oceans, rivers, air, and earth, and a host of statistics of imbalance and mistreatment due to some forgetting they are humans being kind makes it crystal clear that the capitalist extractive colonial system is not only destructive, it is a fraud because many so-called successful corporations are subsidized by tax dollars, evade paying taxes, and are allowed to perpetuate other legal criminalities, for example, slave labor. You could get depressed by what's happening or get woke that this is an exciting time to be alive here with Mother Earth, rewriting our name. And from Bruce Coburn's song, The Coming Rains. And as a side note, that was the goal of this book last year was to get the book printed, published by the time of going to see a Bruce Coburn concert, so to give him a copy, and that happened. Wonderful concert, too. Wonderful man. And here's the quote. In my heart, I hold your photograph, and the thought of you comes on like the feel of the coming rains. And the time for planting's coming soon, and the thought of you comes on like the feel of the coming rains. For the obvious lyrical reason, this is the unofficial theme song for this book. Bruce is a marvelous Canadian singer-songwriter, guitarist, activist, and more. Each person can have a different feel of the coming rains. Some experience an ache in the joints, knees, moodiness, turned on, as they say that rainstorms produce negative ions which have a positive energizing effect. As a child, this traveler was afraid of thunder and lightning storms. Because of that, many hours were spent playing with cardboard building blocks in the small, windowless bathroom. The late teens can feel like the feel of the coming rains, so much expectation of what may happen next. A vignette from those years. Driving away, humming in a red Pontiac Firebird, after visiting my sister and her roommate at college, having been introduced to the songs of James Taylor, a quote from one winding up in the high school yearbook. So as another side note, just say what the unofficial theme song means is that along with fitting the theme of the book with the lyric, you know, in the heart, in your heart, in my heart, I hold your photograph. That song was played the most during the writing of this book. You know, random times would just put on that song. And for whatever it spurred, I don't know exactly, but it just helped to keep that flow going. So thanks again to Bruce Coburn and all the other singer-songwriters whose songs and many quotes throughout this book, as you'll notice, song lyrics, a significant part of life in general, and as this chapter shows for various reasons, but also part of the writing process. Okay, a couple more pages in this chapter. Sometimes a song gets stuck in the head. Couldn't identify it. Neither the title nor the artist from the first bunch of notes playing over and over. After a few months, at the post office, this traveler was told to ask the postal clerk who's into rock and roll. More months went by. One night, got a rush of excited energy when thinking about visiting a good friend, Richard, at the Northport VA, Veterans Affairs, nursing home. Still strong of upper body and spirit with good humor, though wheelchair-bound because of MS, multiple sclerosis, and stopping first for a bite to eat at a cafe nearby. With a cup of coffee and egg and cheese on a croissant sandwich, had barely taken a bite when those first notes came from the speakers, and this traveler leapt from the chair, went to the counter, and breathily asked, "Can you tell me the name of this song?" After checking the digital music service list, Jet Airliner by Steve Miller. Wow, thanks, for many months, and just last night. Not too long after that, Richard left what he poetically called his earth suit for the spirit world. And not long after that, the cafe closed. But in this photo album of the heart mind, the song plays on with the taste of the sandwich and coffee and the smile of a friend and the rush of a mystery revealed. Big old jet airliner, don't carry me too far away. Oh, big old jet airliner, 'cause it's here that I've got to stay. Now this song is for you, working in the mall, the cubicle, dot, dot, dot. driving the bus, working the fields, staring into the horizon or tenement wall, wondering where the next meal will come from. Everywhere you are is a sacred space, though some made less sacred by disregard. The so-called American Indian Religious Freedom Act, Public Law Number 95-341, 92 Stat 469, 1978, before which Native American religions had been prohibited by law. Almost 187 years to live up to the, quote, respecting religion, end quote, words. This song is for a cello player in the middle of a war. This song is for Barbara Jean Lee, U.S. Representative for California's 13th Congressional District, 1998 to 2013, the lone vote in 2001 against invading Afghanistan, 420-1, and Senate 98-0. She also opposed the invasion and occupation of Iraq. Subsequently, an estimated 1 million plus Iraqis have been killed, thousands of Afghans plus U.S. and other soldiers, Iraqi children born with deformities. The so-called cradle of civilization blown to smithereens based on a lie abetted by the corporate media, but they made damn sure not to throw out the bath oil, in quote, in single quotes, oil. But they made damn sure not to throw out the bath oil. Music can be a refuge. Krautrock, born out of post-World War II Germany. Hip-hop from urban ghettos of the U.S. Empire. And, in so-called normal living conditions anywhere, headphones. From insects to rainstorms, there is music in seemingly every being. And two quotes. Music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. Plato. Music is the language of the angels, and every person has an angel in the prison of his heart. So music tries to find a key to release the angel. And the angels don't have political disagreements, wars, greed, and their language is music. So what we're trying to do is to connect people. Theodor Kurentzis, C-U-R-E-N-T-Z-I-S, a Greek-Russian conductor. And that is Songs and Other Musings. Okay, we'll get a little bit into, since chapter 9 is the longest chapter, we'll get a little bit into it. And it's called The Spider. And it's the longest, and also I would say the most complex. It kind of goes back and forth with different sort of tracks or different strands, as you'll further understand the connection with The Spider. And it starts with a section called Indra's Net and a paragraph from a book by Francis H. Cook. The book is Hua Yen Buddhism, The Jewel Net of Indra. Indra's Net. A single glittering jewel in each eye of the net. And since the net itself is infinite in dimension, the jewels are infinite in number. There hang the jewels, glittering like stars of the first magnitude, a wonderful sight to behold. If we now arbitrarily select one of those jewels for inspection and look closely at it, we will discover that in its polished surface there are reflected all the other jewels in the net, infinite in number. Not only that, but each of the jewels reflected in this one jewel is also reflecting all the other jewels, so that there is an infinite reflective process occurring. End quote. Each of us is a part of the totality, the whole, the net. Each of us has an individual net to care give. How they mesh is the evolutionary journey. The net is multidimensional. Of the various possibilities as to the meaning of his name, the following is the one most befitting this book. Quote, the first one to see the Atman as Brahman, the one who first perceived the self-sufficient metaphysical Brahman, asserts the Upanishad, said, Idam Adarsh, I don't know how to pronounce this, but Idam Adarsha, or I have seen it. Others then called this first seer as Idamdra, or it seeing, which over time came to be cryptically known as Indra. End quote. Indra is associated with lightning, thunder, rains, and the flow of rivers. In my heart, I hold your photograph, and the thought of you comes on like the feel of the coming rains. And the next section is a poem titled Om Mani Padme Hum, Tibetan for The Jewel is in the Heart of the Lotus. New dawn, sunlight beings, glistening thin strands of Indra's net. Each little mirror mirroring the sunlight. The cleaner the mirror, the brighter the light. So sweep your temple, your welcome mat, your consciousness. Nurture and grow each spark of light. A jewel at each nexus, and in each jewel is reflected all the others. So polish yourself until your jewel fully shines, each every day polishing. Pearl like beads of dew at every spindle node, each little bead of moisture reflecting all the others. Sunlight beings burning away the dew, at night the beads of dew forming again, reflecting all the stars. Sky fires and earth moistures, buoyed and swaying with wind beings breathing the sacred breaths. Everything that you and each being does, potentially affecting each and every being, the electromagnetic energy of your thoughts and feelings emanating throughout the tender strands of Indra's net, or seen in the reflections and endless playing in the fields of endless jeweled prism lights of mirrorings. Descending and ascending. One of the key guides for this book is the spider. That is why there are 8 chapters representing the legs, plus this, the 9th, representing the body. While having difficulty at the beginning stages of writing this book, one night this traveler felt he had hit upon the key, or perhaps the key had hit upon this writer, as to how to make the book start flowing. So he leapt to the computer and began working with only computer light, and was suddenly startled to see a spider descending vertically and pausing in front of the screen, then ascending. The spider served as a confirmation. The next day or so, this writer took the spider card from the medicine cards deck, poked a small hole at the top, then using some twine, hooked it near the ceiling so that the card would dangle just above the computer screen as a reminder of the direct experience and to keep the energy of that interaction alive and ongoing. The ancient Greek theater had a deus ex machina, or deity out of a machine, the apparatus making its grand entry toward the end of the play and miraculously helping to save the day. While we need to have respect for the spirits in the machines that make our toast, drive our cars, run our computers, we also need to remember that spirit manifests in multitudinous forms, sometimes so commonplace we hardly notice, and other times so startling we can't but notice. There are man-made machines, and there are the infinite, mysterious, machine-like workings of the universe, and both those worlds can converge. FTD sends flowers upon the demise of FSD. Full spectrum dominance, FSD, is a modern continuation of the doctrine of Christian discovery, domination, and dehumanization. With the blessings of the Pope and the Vatican, that doctrine provided a sort of, quote, legal means for taking any land not inhabited by Christians. It was a passport for mass murder, the effects of which are still felt because it is the legal justification for the U.S. empire. FSD is a highly sophisticated hungry ghost, a mashup made of media conglomerate virtual monopolies in cahoots with the deep state and CIA and think tanks backed by military and surveillance hardwares, aka the National Security Surveillance State and other such labels. If you think that they don't literally want your body, mind, and spirit, you are a fool. And this section wraps up with 3 longer quotes. Full spectrum dominance, this is from Wikipedia. And within the Wikipedia, is quoting Department of Defense. Full spectrum dominance, also known as full spectrum superiority, is a military entity's achievement of control over all dimensions of the battle space, effectively possessing an overwhelming diversity of resources in such areas as terrestrial, aerial, maritime, subterranean, extraterrestrial, psychological, and bio or cyber technological warfare. Full spectrum dominance includes the physical battle space, air, surface and subsurface, as well as the electromagnetic spectrum and information space. The United States Department of Defense defines full spectrum superiority as the cumulative effect of dominance in the air, land, maritime, and space domains and information environment, which includes cyberspace, that permits the conduct of joint operations without effective opposition or prohibitive interference. End quotes. And the next section is a poem, Growing Light, number 6. With the poem is titled Inner Light, written after hearing of John Trudell's passing to the spirit world. Inner Light. All you can do is be yourself. Some people will see you, others won't. So rather than wasting too much energy fighting those who can't see you, find out who yourself really is. So then you can hold more light with you, carry more light with you. And then again, those who are meant to recognize you will. And the light will always be your friend. And the light will always be your friend. This one is for the American Exceptionalists, number 3. And this is all quotes. The first, sometimes just other people say it better than, be thinking about a topic or how to express it and just find a quote, you know, a one-liner or a paragraph that just, you know, sums it up. So the first quote is from a 2013 list compiled by author William Blum. Instances of the United States overthrowing or attempting to overthrow a foreign government since the Second World War. And some of these have asterisks, which indicate successful ouster of a government. China, 1949 to early 1960s. Albania, 1949 to 53. East Germany, 1950s. Iran, 1953, asterisk. Guatemala, 1954, asterisk. Costa Rica, mid-1950s. Syria, 1956-7. Egypt, 1957. Indonesia, 1957-8. British Guiana, 1953-64, asterisk. Iraq, 1963, asterisk. North Vietnam, 1945-73. Cambodia, 1955-70, asterisk. Laos, 1958 asterisk and 1959 asterisk and 1960 asterisk. Ecuador, 1960-63 asterisk. Congo, 1960 asterisk. France, 1965. Brazil, 1962-64 asterisk. Dominican Republic, 1963 asterisk. Cuba, 1959 to present. Bolivia, 1964, asterisk. Indonesia, 1965, asterisk. Ghana, 1966, asterisk. Chile, 1964-73, asterisk. Greece, 1967, asterisk. Costa Rica, 1970-71. Bolivia, 1971, asterisk. Australia, 1973-75, asterisk. Angola, 1975-1980s. Zaire, 1975, Portugal, 1974-76, asterisk, Jamaica, 1976-80, asterisk, not sure how to pronounce this one, Seychelles, 1979-81, Chad, 1981-82, asterisk, Grenada, 1983, asterisk, South Yemen, 1982-84, Suriname, I think that's it, Suriname, 1982-84, Fiji, 1987, asterisk, Libya, 1980s, Nicaragua, 1981-90, asterisk, Let's see. Panama, 1989, asterisk. Bulgaria, 1990, asterisk. Albania, 1991, asterisk. Iraq, 1991. Afghanistan, 1980s, asterisk. Somalia, 1993. Yugoslavia, 1999 and 2000, asterisk. Ecuador, 2000, asterisk. Afghanistan, 2001, asterisk. Venezuela, 2002, asterisk. Iraq, 2003, asterisk. Haiti, 2004, asterisk. Somalia, 2007 to the present. Honduras, 2009. Libya, 2011, asterisk. Syria, 2012. Ukraine, 2014, asterisk. End quote. I think Honduras was, well, there was a political coup recently, so I'm not sure if that deserves an asterisk. Anyway, that takes a lot of energy to read that, and that is just doesn't even come close to a piece of dental floss plaque to convey the military horrors and the toll taken with Mother Earth and all the relations. That's not in the book, but I just had to slow down and add that. And the second part of this section, and from Harold Pinter's Nobel Prize-winning speech in 2005, the crimes of the United States have been systematic, constant, vicious, remorseless, but very few people have actually talked about them. You have to hand it to America. It has exercised a quite clinical manipulation of power worldwide while masquerading as a force for universal good. It's a brilliant, even witty, highly successful act of hypnosis. Language is actually employed to keep thought at bay. The words, the American people, provide a truly voluptuous cushion of reassurance. You don't need to think. Just lie back on the cushion. The cushion may be suffocating your intelligence and your critical faculties, but it's very comfortable. End quote. I could have added Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. Oh well. And the next section, the Daily Grid. Along with many East Indian gurus and Buddhist teachers, one of the great esoteric colloquial conveyors of Eastern philosophies and practices to the West was Alan Watts. He transmitted across the World Wide Web, before there were computers, relaying another version of Indra's net. Imagine a multidimensional spider's web in the early morning covered with dewdrops, and every dewdrop contains the reflections of all the other dewdrops, and in each reflected dewdrop the reflections of all the other dewdrops in that reflection, and so ad infinitum. That is the Buddhist conception of the universe in an image. Alan Watts. Roadways lined with telephone and electrical wires, an outer manifestation of the net. Add to that the recent trend of cell phones, text messages, tweets, Facebookings, Instagram, meal photos, videos on tiny screens, etc., and it all seems like some incessant, technological, narcissistic version of Indra's net. Everyone watching everyone and wanting to be watched, yet detached from nature and face-to-face relating. That said, within the insular gadget matrix, many pleasant and helpful interactions are happening. Perhaps the fate of the world hangs in the balance as to how these wires, seen and unseen, get along together. The grid, upon which so many rely for their daily electrical juice, is a fragile thing. Puerto Rico, Barbuda. A spider's web can be disappeared in a windy rainstorm, aka electrical storm. There is another definition of electrical storm. Ventricular tachycardia, VTAC or VT, is a type of regular and fast heart rate that arises from improper electrical activity in the ventricles of the heart. This traveler wonders how all the electrical gadgets are affecting our heart and mind energy fields, and how much they are distracting us from the big, holistic picture. And this will be the last section for this audio, and then looks like the rest of the chapter will be in the next presentation. Heart Mind Number 2. According to the 17th century French philosopher Blaise Pascal, the heart has its reasons of which reason knows nothing, and the data backs that up. And most of this is quotes. The heart begins to form in the fetus before the brain. The source of the heartbeat is in the heart, not the brain. The electrical impulse of each heartbeat can be measured 3 to 4 feet from the body. The electrical impulse of the heart is 40 to 60 times stronger than the brain. The heart's vascular system is 60,000 miles long and can wrap around the earth twice. Compared to the electromagnetic field produced by the brain, the electrical component of the heart's field is about 60 times greater in amplitude and permeates every cell in the body. The magnetic component is approximately 5,000 times stronger than the brain's magnetic field and can be detected several feet away from the body with sensitive magnetometers. We propose that the heart's field acts as a carrier wave for information that provides a global synchronizing signal for the entire body. I'll read that one again. We propose that the heart's field acts as a carrier wave for information that provides a global synchronizing signal for the entire body. End quote. As a side note, sometimes you go somewhere and you just happen to meet somebody. So, although that could be flavored by many layers, and befitting of the book theme of the under the radar connectings. It also fits with that global synchronizing signal. And that's the quotes. And then the last couple of paragraphs. The heart feeds more information to the brain than the brain does to the heart. While the mind has abilities that could make a computer look dumb and is capable of visionary powers, left to its own devices without being rooted in the heart, it is a dangerous tool. And that's it for this section, this portion of the audio. And coming up will be the rest of chapter 9 and perhaps fit in some of the end notes. So thanks again for listening. Have a good one.